and design and create whatever we want to. The question is do we want to? That's what we have to ask ourselves. You know, I've been away from a lot of things, you know, for a while now, and incubating, you know, ideas and doing what I needed to do to deal with the resistance that comes with making.
Chasing. Nobody is this hype necessarily. They say I'm on drugs.
But my only drug is hip hop.
Love is life.
It's the Morning Detour on the Mighty CKT 90.3 FM.
I think the definition of greatness is to inspire the people next to you. Yeah, I think that's what greatness is or should be. It's not something that lives and dies with one person. Mm. It's how can you inspire a person to then in turn inspire another person that then inspires another person. And that's how you create something that I think lasts forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's our challenge as people, is to figure out how our story can impact others and motivate them in a way to create their own greatness.
I'm on this road and I'm not sure where my heart is headed. And if you left me now, I know I'll far regret it. Told you once, tell you twice that I'm indebted. But I can't waste no time, you know my time is precious. Hey, hit up Eliante for that diamond necklace. Hey, tell me you don't need, girl, and I respect it. I'm on the road, too much, shit kinda hectic. Telling you what's on my mind, don't use my thoughts as leverage. Hey, I've been traveling around these crossroads. Hey, gotta compromise some, but that's a small toll. Hey, crazy when we first met, we was lost souls. But I know I gotta grow. I lace my best, give her designer. I'm sorry, his 50 racks for the stress. Not easy to impress, always wonder what's next. I go as deep as I can and make her shake like Tourette's and say,
love is no miracle and lust ain't no thing. Trust is unusual, but we both been through pain.
And I'm not sure where my heart is headed. And if you left me now, I know I'll far regret it. Told you once, tell you twice that I'm indebted. But I can't waste no time, you know my time is precious.
I just need love, I need someone to give me more perspective. You on your grind, just hope you call me when you get a second. Yeah, I don't need no lecture, baby, I just need your presence. And I promise I'm gonna stay no matter where we left it. Turn effort, I just need turn effort. Temptations in my past, yeah, all the times I was tested. You wanna go, but just make sure that we stay connected. I know you're solid, so I promise you that I'm invested. Love is so beautiful, lust is just kidding. Trust is something you should know. We both feel the same, yeah, yeah.
I'm on this road, and I'm not sure where my heart is headed. And if you left me now, I know I'll far regret it. Told you once, tell you twice that I'm indebted. But I can't waste no time, you know my time is precious.
Rich and Millie the 360, cause you been real with me 360. Street, buy all drugs, but you made a dream by you new. I made room, I care to make you love me, not make shade room. Ain't scared to say I love you, but to be honest, you can't leave soon. Ain't worth it. I tried, you tell me I spend my time with all my guys. No, we don't spend time. I say I'm a star, but I still do. These gon' be the same ones that's gon' kill for you.
I'm on this road, and I'm not sure where my heart is headed. And if you left me now, I know I'll far regret it.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, 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 yes. Good morning, Montreal. Good morning, Montreal. It's January 28th, 2022. You are now locked into the number one morning show in the country. This is the Morning Detour. I'm your host, Weezy Moon Chaser. The Montreal Kobe Bryant. They know that I'm nice. They hate that it's me. I'm alongside the calm in the storm, the queen of PR. Lorena, what's going on?
Nothing. Good morning, everyone.
So I see you slipped your way here this morning. Montreal, before we start anything. The roads are slippery.
It is.
My back is slipping. My front slipping. This ain't Tokyo Drift. I ain't built this way. Listen,
I haven't seen so many cars get into accidents and ditch on the highway, maybe because I'm more on the road. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. Let's be safe this morning.
Yes, please be careful.
It's not that cold, though. It's not that cold, though. It's all right. Yesterday was, we don't talk about yesterday in a bit. Mm-hmm. Montreal, my city, Wednesday, the 26th was the anniversary of Kobe Bryant. It's been 2 years already, Lorena. Mm-hmm. Man, that helicopter crash with him and eight others, his daughter Gigi. And still to this day, it's still kind of like, damn, Kobe's really gone, though.
Yeah, it's still unbelievable what happened.
You know what I mean? I pull back out the traditional Lakers starter coat. Every so often I pull it out, I have the Kobe high school jersey framed up. But it still hurts, man. And it's crazy because, like, the Kobe thing happened, and after we went into the COVID madness.
Yep.
So it's been like a dark cloud ever since then. But, you know, this morning we're going to celebrate Kobe, Jellybean Bryant. We'll celebrate Gigi. We'll celebrate the eight others. You know, right, you know. Obviously, people don't talk so much about other people that died because they're not celebrities, but mm-hmm. there's a point we mentioned them too, the eight others that died on that flight, man. It was crazy, man. I remember when I got the news, I was doing my project management, so I was at a client's office. Yo, man, the tears just bayed over me. The tears, you know what I mean? And I don't be one of those guys like, oh, I don't like to show emotion. My issue is not, I don't like to show emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to crying. Even the day after Sunday, beautiful, beautiful funeral for my grandmother. What kills me, they got to stop putting the TVs at the funeral, showing videos of the person that's dead in the casket. Because the more I'm watching the thing, the more I'm getting more emotional.
Yeah.
Sunday, I woke up and I was like, man, I'll never get the pate no more. I'll never get that good juice. And it really bayed over me. I was like, damn, I guess the cancer was coming out.
It's really hard.
I miss Kobe, man. It's not the same, man. But, you know, at least the upside, I think Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's wife, I think her and Nike during talks. You know, because Kobe hadn't renewed the deal with Nike, so, mm-hmm. you know, it's good to get some Kobe shoes again. Montreal, my city, we have an amazing show this morning. We have two-time NBA champion, you know, keeping with the theme, Lorena. We got two-time NBA champion Joel Anthony on the show. He's the new GM of the Montreal Alliance. They're going to play in the CEBL. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I've interviewed hundreds of people. It's one of my best joints.
Okay.
Don't hold me. It's one of my best
joints. Well, it's a heavyweight, so it's huge, right?
I've never seen, you know, I talk about on the show. I've never heard them string five words together before. You know, I played a couple years behind him at SunU. Mm-hmm. And great interview. Very humble guy, man. Good look for Montreal. And we also have, you know, very interesting resume, our guest here. She was running for candidate for city councilor for Mouvement Montréal. She's a product of Côte des Neiges. I obviously cannot say her name properly. But
we'll figure it out today.
Rita Ikuan is coming on the show. I think I got, you know, don't hit me with the vowel, then the hard consonant, and then hit me with another vowel again. It's kind of crazy. Well, you know, it's amazing when we have that going on. We also have the gentleman that got his bank account closed out or, you know, locked out by RBC.
Yep.
This ain't racial profiling. This ain't systemic racism. How
his accounts are still locked till this day.
And it's been 2 months.
Yeah.
His lawyer called me and said, we won't come on the show. I said, hell yeah, where's your money? Come on the show. Let's find your money. Being black is hard. So let's go into it, Lorena. Fresh Face Fridays brought to you by Synergy Medispa. Synergy Medispa, great place to get your facials, your body sculpted, your laser removal, and much more. Your facial peels is beautiful. Follow them on Instagram, synergy.medispa. Book an appointment today. Let's open up here.
What's going on?
All week, people's been hitting me up. Can we talk about Walmart a little bit?
Okay.
Can we talk about Walmart? Let me scroll down to it real quick. Can we talk about Walmart a little bit? So somebody hit me up earlier this week and was like, yo, Walmart is going to put, you know, because pharmacies are in some of the Walmarts, right? So Walmart is going to put, like, this, like, screening thing mm-hmm. with glass and plastic. It's kind of like a quarantine. I feel like all this is Auschwitz to me. Yeah. All this is feeling like the Holocaust to me. I don't want to be dramatic this morning, but that's what's kind of feeling to me. So I saw the thing, and then social media comes up, and you see the pictures now. Now, Walmart is saying nothing to gusso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard it wasn't true.
But how did they create the pictures, though? Like, was that all, like, magicry? Or, like, Photoshop?
Possibly. I don't know.
So Walmart Canada shuts down rumors it's displaying unvaxxed customers in plastic cubicles. Another day and another COVID-19 rumor. Walmart Canada shut down claims it was sticking unvaccinated pharmacy customers in plexiglass cubicles after photos of human 8 plastic screens began circulating online. Online is a dangerous place. So Quebec began requiring stores within an area of at least 1,500 square meters, such as Walmart and Canadian Tire, to screen customers for their proof of vaccination on January 24th. The only exception are stores that offer grocery and pharmacy services. So confusion and misinformation continued on the first day of the new measure. Social media photos showing plexiglass barriers inside Walmart led to some, including the Conservative Party of Quebec, to claim that the store was using them as a waiting area for unvaccinated pharmacy customers. This thing has gone too far. Well, it went far a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really confusing, especially because it was really like heavily announced, like Walmart, Costco, Canadian Tire, but then there's other stores that are also included in that as well that wasn't talked about. So it's really confusing for people who are trying to go out shopping, whether they should go to those stores, order online,
I'm done with SAQ. I'm going to tell you right now. Try a thing. Brandon Lala, follow him on IG. We'll give you everything. Any black-owned business, try a thing. No, like, listen. If it was a cure and everybody that didn't get this vaccination was infecting other people, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But this ain't that. People are still getting sick. Everywhere it turns, somebody's sick.
Well, we just heard someone who's isolating right now, who's, you know, up to date on all their vaccinations. Yeah. So,
like, how frustrating is that, right? You know what I mean? I'm due to get my booster next week. I'm just like, okay, what a point. Give me your saline clear water, like, so whatever at this point. It's crazy. And then the flip side of that, you know, we both have friends. We both know people that are a little bit more spiritually inclined. And, you know, they feel they're a little bit more woke, and that's fine. It's a personal journey. And, you know, and they feel those that are vaccinated, you know, they've lost their essence. They lost their soul. The energy's not the same. Let me tell you, man, my energy has not shifted. I think it's all mental. My energy has not shifted. I don't feel less of my essence. I think I'm even better than before. But you know, if I go, I'm going to go. My mom got vaccinated. If I go, I'll go with my mom. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Because I rather enjoy the little time we have left. Making a little money, enjoy myself, opposed to being poor, unvaccinated, and ostracized in society. This makes no sense to me. No, but you know. But I think a revolution's on hand because, like, now we're gone too far. Now, you're stopping people from going to Walmart and stuff? Now we've gone too far. Oh, man. Yeah. Let me give a shout-out, you know. I can't even say it's a sister show. Let me give a shout-out to all the morning shows listening to the Empowerment Hour yesterday while I was on the road. Very good content there, man. Very good content. There's a very good community program right there.
Well, shout-out to them.
Shout-out to them.
And all the other morning shows.
All the other shows is great, you know what I mean? I'm doing a special on February 8th. I'm going to do the Wheezy Rush Hour. I'm doing 3 to 5 on February 8th, and that's going to be the lead-in to our Valentine's Day special on the 11th. I got to talk about this. I don't know if I got to switch the beat, Larita. I don't know if I got to switch the beat. So I was talking to La Vera the other day, and I told him, I said, you know, low-key, I got a beef with you guys. Because, you know, I bought so much La Vera for my ex, and I'll never see it. You know, obviously, we're not together no more, so I'll never see it. And it kind of burns me in my soul, because I want, you know, you see the pictures online, and then you get it for your partner. It's like, yo, I'm going to get the baby on. It's going to look nice, right? So they had a good laugh about it. But I want to let people know, next Friday, we're doing the Love Vera giveaway. We're giving away 3 lingerie sets brought to you by Love Vera. If you don't know Love Vera, black-owned lingerie company out of L.A., the top tier of lingerie making. Mm-hmm. The color schemes, the styles, the cuts.
And it's inclusive, the sizes, too. So don't feel like the sizes are not going to fit. They are going to fit you. Definitely support them. I love everything that they're doing. So
big, small, thin, everything. But, you know, I actually prefer some of the content with the bigger girls. I don't discriminate. I love me some meat. I'm half Haitian. I love it all. So Love Vera, we're giving away 3 lingerie sets. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to play either Name That Song or I'm going to have a riddle. So when you call in at 820, the number is 514-448-4013. We'll put up the promo up there. We did, you know, shout out to Doc from Free Agents Media. They did the promo for us for Love Vera. So when you call in, either have to answer a riddle, or we're going to play Name That Song. So we're giving away 3 lingerie sets, you know, and if you order it on Friday, you'll get it in time for Valentine's Day, so you and your special someone, y'all can share that.
Oh, that's dope.
And on the 11th, I'm going to have all kind of different intimacy coaches. We're going to have guest co-host Kim. Kim's going to come on, and we're going to do that. I'm going to give away 2 baskets. I call it the Valentine's Day Starter Kit.
Okay.
So you know, you have some B-coms in there, some tri thing. There might be some toys. We a saucier show. This is not a community program. The more detours and experiences, a moment in time. Kobe said it was the Mamba mentality a little bit, Larina. So aside from that, man, so that's what we have going on. So February 8th, Wheezy Rush Hour. Next Friday, February 4th, we're going to kick off Valentine's Day Black History Month 2. We have guest co-host Tamara. Tamara's coming on. We're going to talk black culture. On the 11th, we have Joan Lee, president of WIPCA. So, you know, it's action-packed February, you know what I mean? So what you got going on? You know, what's going on with the crown, man? What's going on with the crown these days?
What's going on with the crown these days?
I see you got the hoodie on. Well, I'm asking what's going on. You know what I mean? You're a celebrity since you did your last run. Everybody keeps coming like, is that Larina from the show? I saw her on TV. I'm like, yes, I saw it too. She looked great.
Shout out to CTV News for that. Thank you so much. I was actually chosen as a CBC Black Changemaker this year. So,
yo, how are you not leading off with this when we start the show? Like, why?
Well, because you were, you know, dedicating to Kobe. You had some stuff to say.
You didn't even say it in the pre-show. Like, yo, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So, are you kind of bashful about it? You kind of shy about it?
Yeah, it's very weird because there's a lot of amazing people that were chosen this year. Right. So everybody will see that starting on February 1st on CBC's website. But yeah, I was there with like Stephen Hennessy, and that's somebody that like, yeah, you know, I look up to. And yeah, he was kind of like my counselor and stuff like that at Youth in Motion when I was younger. So to be in that same, you know, room or circle with him is amazing. There was even like Kim Sherwood, who was like my music teacher in elementary school. So it's crazy. It's like a lot of great people. There's Dr. Dorothy Williams, who does great work. And there was just so many people that are just doing amazing things in the community. You don't really realize it. But just to see all their faces and the work that they do was pretty cool.
So moving forward for you, what do you feel like your mandate, with, you know, with your brand, the Crown Project, and just with yourself, where do you see yourself going? Are you going to do more more clothing drives? For those that don't know the Crown Project, you know, until the COVID thing started, every prom, we sent a girl out. And we did her makeup, got her dress and all that. You put that all together. You know, we rented a nice little Airbnb. We got it all nice. You know, for those less fortunate, you know, not everybody can afford it, unfortunately.
It's expensive.
Yeah, so. But at least one special girl got the experience she wanted, and that was brought to you by the Crown Project. That was brought to you by yourself. So, you know, with the world changing since you first started Crown Project, where do you see your mandate going for the nonprofit?
It's a little difficult because our rules keep changing. So it's like you have to keep up with the rules. You have to kind of think of things last minute to change things around to still help people in some shape or form, fashion. So I would love to be able to do some virtual events. I would still love for the kids to have prom. I would still love to get some like great dresses for them and give them away. So we'll see what happens with like the rules and what the government says. But I want to keep on expanding and doing stuff.
Okay, that's what's up. I want to urge Montreal, my city, you know, follow the Crown Project on Instagram for all the latest news and developments and updates. Yo, you guys always post some great stuff in the stories as well, so it's always a good experience. Let's go back and forth. We have Action Pack and play some music. Shout out to DJ Maddie, Guardians of the Galaxy. The music is stupendous this morning. We are in rare form. You know, it's one of those Laker mornings. We are, you know, this is showtime. We are in rare form. I'm telling you, the mix is fire, man. I ain't gonna play this morning. So, you know, let's kick off with some news here before we get to the mix and play the Joel interview. Quebec's opposition party is bracing for fight over Cox anti-vax tax. So Quebec Solidaire proposes door-to-door vaccine brigades. Instead of waiting for non-vaccinated people to come to us, we have to go to them. This is sounding more and more like the Gestapo.
It's wild.
It's not a cure. People are still, I know people that are quadruple vaxxed and they still getting sick. And then Rebozo was like, well, they're not getting as sick. So I don't know where most of us kind of lie in that kind of argument there within itself. But I think a lot of us will agree that these vaccine mandates have gone too far.
They have gone too far. I feel like we said in the beginning, it should be a choice. You should have the choice to get it if you want to. You should have the choice to not get it if you do not want to get it. The most important thing is that we take care of our health. And it's also hard for us, too, because we're not able to go to the gym to exercise. It's cold outside. So it's hard to go outside for our jog and stuff like that. Like, we have to be active. We also need to be social. We need to be around each other. So I don't know. It's just very backwards.
I did, you know, that's one of the components we're going to talk about in February when we do a lot of intimacy stuff like that, too. That just how important having conversation, face-to-face conversation with people. I think with the rise of social media, I think we kind of got away from that. There's value to seeing someone face-to-face and feeling the warmth of someone's energy and seeing their smile. You don't have to be super woke and stuff like that. I'm just talking on a person-to-person level. There's a magic there that we don't always see, but we can always feel it. So business groups urge feds to reverse vaccine mandate for cross-border truckers. This is a big thing now. Everybody went on live this week about the truckers. Because, you know, if y'all ain't seen, the shelves looking kind of bare nowadays. In some parts of the world, there are food shortage. Louie and I have predicted this since day one in the Morning Detour.
We've been telling you to stock up.
Since the first episode of the Morning Detour, I said there's going to be a depopulation agenda, i.e. COVID. A couple weeks ago, we found out, hey, listen, leaked from Elite. And here we are now. So business leaders are urging Ottawa to ease vaccine mandates for cross-border truckers to relieve the congested supply chain with the United States. So Prime Minister Justin Trudeau defended Monday the mandate as a necessary step to keep supply chains open, arguing that COVID-19 itself is the biggest risk to Canada's economy. So Perrin Beatty, the president of the chamber, told the Canadian Press that while we strongly favor getting as many people vaccinated as possible, the government should allow more time before imposing the mandate on truckers. She goes on to say, until now, governments have considered truckers to be providing an essential service, which has kept supply chains functioning even during the most serious waves of the pandemic, Beatty said in a written response to questions. But Beatty said the government hasn't produced statistics that show that truckers are a major source of COVID-19 infections in Canada. And see, this is what a lot of people have a problem with our government in Canada, and especially in Quebec. They do not substantiate their claims. It's like nobody went to college or university. If you make a claim, you have your thesis statement, you got to back it up. And I like... Mm-hmm. They, you know, you and I, we went to college and university, and they've ingrained it so much in us, like, we build our lives like that. Like, this is our statement, mm-hmm. and these are the back, and these are the facts to back it up. And then our government doesn't even do that.
No, because I feel like they're just taking us for idiots. That's what I feel like.
Let me tell you who's not an idiot. Group of Laval high school students take off masks in COVID-19 protests and pick it on sidewalk.
Hold on. Okay.
I got it coming into it. Yeah, and they pick it on the sidewalk. So about 50 students at a Laval High School took part in the protest against COVID-19 rules that got briefly heated and was captured on video on Thursday. The students at Laval Senior Academy were upset about the requirements to wear masks and that they were only allowed to eat in their school's cafeteria, said Sir Wilfrid Laurier, school board spokesperson Maxine Jolin. Good for them. Yeah. Yo, God, maybe the N95 is a little bit different, but mm-hmm. God bless people that work with masks all day, because I can't. Like, it's crazy.
No, it's hard. It's really hard.
So real quick, if I shift to you on entertainment and cultural news, Quebec invests more than $1 billion in mental health, including $361 million in new money.
Wow.
When they say new money, just help me understand a little bit. When you say new money, what does that mean? Where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand new money a little bit. So Quebec is opening the floodgates. Just reading that made me nervous. What floodgates? For years now, the nurses... The teachers asking for more money. They're both providing a vital role. Teachers are don't even have the right career status. Like, it's not even the right status, teachers. Teachers should be on the same level as doctors. They're training young minds. But all of this scapegoat money keeps to be, you know, all the floodgates seems to be opening lately, Arena. So Junior Health Minister Lina Kama announced Tuesday that $1.15 billion will be invested over 5 years, including $361 million in new money in this area. So that's crazy. One of the key elements of the Interdepartmental Action Plan on Mental Health, see, this is already too long, their whole plan is already too long, is to use the 811 service as a gateway to direct people to services and resources tailored to their needs. And that's a good look.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are hurting. You know, a lot of people, you know, especially when we were just talking about just the communicating and connection with people. Being isolated, yeah, we've seen it over the last year. It's messed up a lot of people.
Yep, it has.
Especially when, if you've never, you know, you yourself, you know, you're much more introverted, so you're used to kind of being by yourself, you're comfortable with self.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people always have the noise around them, so now with COVID, now you have to spend a lot of time with self, and a lot of people aren't comfortable with that.
Nope.
There's a lot of demons and cloud. See, me and my demons, we best friends, you know what I mean?
Well, not everybody is Wheezy Moon Chaser, so
no, for sure. That's why I said it's a good thing. That's why I said it's good. I just, you know, I spoke about just speaking about myself a little bit. I mean, but it's good that it's helped there. Shout out to Khan and David Archer. They're doing good work out there. Serving community. I know they're booked up, guys. I know a lot of you guys have reached out to me. I'm trying my best to forward all the messages. But, you know, those are black therapists. And it's a shame in the black community. A lot of us aren't, you know, it's still kind of a stigma behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do want to get help, there's only two guys to sit down with.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it this morning. So what do you have in entertainment news?
Well, with stuff to do around the city, it's still a little hard. We're still waiting for, right. You know, the conference that's happening on Monday. Where the measures are supposed to, you know, come down a little bit. But there's a lot of outdoor activity to do, of course. You know, there is still the skating that's happening. There's the ski and snowshoe at Park Frederick Beck that has free rentals on the weekend. Luminotherapy that's happening at Quartier de Spectacle up until the 27th. Also, Vans and the Dylan Ojo Foundation, which was founded by Ellen Charles, the mother of the late Dylan Ojo,
yeah.
who tragically passed when he was 22 in 2018. from an accident. They created a snow park at Olympic Park. So the snow park has 8 obstacles, including a medium-sized jump and sliding rails, ranging in difficulty levels for snowboarders of all ages. The park will be open every day from 9 to 5 until the end of March, or as long as we have the snow that allows us to do all of that. There's also BSTEM that is happening January 30th to February 2nd. So as you know, we spoke about it last show, but just a reminder, this event is the first one actually for Black excellence in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and medicine and health. They're going to be having public panels, talks, career fair, and sessions featuring the research of high school and undergraduate students. They want to get more young Black people involved in STEM. So definitely check that out, BSTEM 2022. You can sign up for that. It is a free event, so that's what's happening as well. Black History Month is right around the corner. Yeah. So today at 1:30 p.m., there's going to be an announcement of all the events that are taking place next month in Montreal. So you could go to moihistoiredesnoirs.com or look at their Facebook page, because they're going to be having it live at 1:30, the announcement. There's also Point Goddess. So gender equality in sports is an event that's happening on February 27th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The goal for this event is, for this gender equity in sports workshop, is to provide a space where females can identify the challenges and share their perspective on how to improve gender equality. Working together, we will discuss resources and how to create change and create solutions for these problems. So if you have a young woman that is in sports, definitely sign her up for this workshop. You can follow Point Goddess on Instagram and send a DM to register for the event. It's really important as well.
I think she's coming on the show on the 11th as well.
Okay.
So we have her booked on the 11th, yeah.
Perfect. And then moving on to entertainment. So we have Cardi B. So a jury ordered blogger Tasha K to pay the rapper $1.5 million in damages. The decision sided with Cardi, who claimed Tasha K defamed her with false accusations about past sex work, STIs, and drug addiction. But even though Tasha K lost the case, she apparently still plans on seeking an appeal and vows to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. I think it's a little much, but if that's what she wants to do.
Yo, we got so much cases that are in litigation, so many things that are backed up, and you're talking about this. Like, come on, man, let's just sell it. You know, let's sell this out and keep it moving.
Honestly, I feel like she should leave it alone and move on. But that's just me. But congratulations to Cardi B on winning that, because that's a big deal, because a lot of celebrities go through that with a lot of the bloggers these days. Mm-hmm. So another thing that's happening is that movie sequels have been announced this past week. So first up, we have Dame Dash. She said that there's going to be a part 2 to Paid in Full that's in the works.
Hold on. Did he say Jay-Z's going to be in it?
There was no mention. All we know so far is that the movie is going to be filmed in Newark, New Jersey. So we'll see what happens.
Liv is like, I don't want to see no Paid in Full that's filmed in New York.
No, I would watch it.
I thought you were going to say like Abu Dhabi or something. Like, let's go back to Marcy or something. Like, Paid in Full,
well,
too.
Well, I don't think Alpo went to Abu Dhabi.
No, man. No. I was thinking about Death of the Rock and State Property.
No.
Paid in Full, too. Man.
Yeah.
Man, that was a good movie, boy. If you haven't seen Paid in Full, what a hood classic.
So that's in the works. So that's exciting. And then also, too, it was announced that all 4 actors, which is Jada Pinkett Smith, Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, and Tiffany Haddish, they have signed on to do Girls Trip Part 2. So Will Packer announced that recently. So they're just trying to figure out the location and everything that's going to happen. So I'm assuming, I guess, there won't be another Essence Fest Girls Trip, but it's going to be, you know, interesting to see how that plays out.
I love to see, like, you and your girlfriends, because I know you guys just hook up and y'all kick it. How if we brought cameras out, what would your girl trip be? Like, are you guys the one, like, getting crazy at the club, like, really letting your hair down, getting loose?
Or you guys, because we're out of town, so, like, there's always drinks happening.
Are you one of those activity person? Like, you want? No, actually, I've been on vacation.
No, sometimes it depends where I am.
Okay.
It depends where I am. Like, I always travel with a purpose. So it really depends. But, I mean, it depends where I am. Like, Essence Fest, like, I had to make sure I eat. I wanted to see certain things. Went out.
That's really dope. You went there. What was the energy like when you're around so much, like, There's been so much black people that's just doing positive things. That's just really about the culture. Like, yo, we love being black, and this is who we are.
It's just a good time all around. Like, everybody, for the most part, like, everybody's super friendly. It's just, like, the energy is just there. So, it's, like, black excellence.
You
like,
saw Future?
No, I didn't see Future.
I got a confirmation, though. Shout out to all my Haitian cousins. I met cousins I never met before.
Mm-hmm.
So, real quick segue. So, we're having dinner after the funeral on Saturday. And Future came up. And they're like, yeah, Future is Haitian.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so okay. No, I never got confirmation of that. Like, we are throwing a joke up there.
No, he is.
Oh, yeah, he's so Haitian. Okay, yeah, okay. I got it.
But, yeah, if I could suggest, if Essence Festival does come back in person, definitely make it a girls' trip and make sure you choose the right girls to go with, because that could also be a mess, too.
It's a mess, period.
But moving on, Gucci Mane, in his latest song, is saying that he's being haunted. So he released a new song called Rumors, and he shares that he thinks Jeezy's deceased friend is haunting his home. So as we all know, the rappers have multiple issues throughout the year, especially with Gucci Mane allegedly fatally shooting Jeezy's friend Pookie Lock in 2005. So in the song, he raps, DA dropped my murder, didn't have evidence to prove it. I think my house is haunted. Yeah, by who? The ghost of Pookie. But then he like makes a jab at Jeezy, saying he ain't killed nobody but keeps rapping about the shooting, still ain't got revenge yet but keep making up excuses. Cuz done drank so much lean that his gut got big as Gucci's. Quit while he's ahead and don't go out like Whitney Houston. So Jeezy has not responded yet, but he did just have a baby, so he is occupied with that. So we'll see what happens, but I was hoping that this whole beef was like
No, it's not
done
icy
with.
Enough. No, it's not icy enough. The beat's never done.
It's I was hoping enough. It was done. And then in new music, we have a single by Ella Mai that just came out today, DMFU. Sammy has a single called P-Talk. Coltrane featuring Lucky Day, Bag, and Quavo, Shooters Inside My Crib. Albums that are out is R&B singer Amber Mark, Three Dimensions Deep, and NLE Choppa, Me Versus Me.
Okay, please send me all of that. That sounded real good. Okay.
Yeah.
It's more Detour. It's Mambo Forever. It's the legendary, the mighty CKT 90.3 FM. It's the Morning Detour. Montreal, my city. We're coming to you live from DG Kicks, the leader in urban sportswear clothing. They even have electronics. They have sneakers. They have jackets. Come on down, 6714 Fielding. Or you can visit them online, DGKicks.com. It's going down. It's the Morning Detour. DJ Maddie got some fire for us this morning. Let's kick it off. This I want to do it. This I want to do it, Lolo. It's the Morning Detour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Montreal,
there's
my city.
Nobody is this hype this early. They see him on drugs.
Our only drug is hip hop.
Love is life.
The Morning Detour on the mighty CKT 90.3 FM.
Yeah. 7:32 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's slippery out there, Montreal. DJ Manny, Guardians of the Galaxy. We are in the building. The Morning Detour.
I know that you're hurting, baby. It's a good thing pain don't last. I know I can make it better. If you would give me a chance, Oh, my love, pretty buttercup. Oh, my love, we kiss and cuddle up. This world, I make your outside tough. But on the inside, you're sweet like someone's up. Oh, nah. Baby, you know, I got your back. Baby, you know, I'll always be there. Trust.
Talk to me and tell me how. that we're gonna be together always. Hope you know that when it's late at night, hold on to my pillow tight. Think of how you promised me forever.
This how we vibe in the morning. It's the Mornito, Mo Chase and Lolo, DJ Manny, Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's go.
Yeah.
Security.
If you leave me a good time, I suck. You are like the oxygen I need to survive. I'll be honest. I'm loving the thought in me. I am so obsessed. I want to chop your own heart. Pull up. Now I need a back and it's real. Open up, make us feel love. Yeah, my love one thing. Come and make a bad man sing. You, I could give up my life without you. Si me escribiste, anoche te dejé un mensaje, pero no lo leíste. Yo comprendo que tú no quieras saber más de mí. Dicen que te perdí, te perdí. Y yo no aguanto otra noche sin ti.
With Matty Phillip on the morning detour. CKUT 90.3 FM.
Don't give too much away. I don't want nobody to know who's on.
Right.
Let me tell y'all right now. He's a Montreal native, 10-year NBA vet. Most dudes never make it to the NBA from Canada. This guy went 10 years deep. Two NBA champions. Some guys play there. Charles Barkley don't have a ring. A man right here, he got two of them. He's been anointed the first general manager of the Montreal Alliance, the Canadian Elite Basketball League. Super excited. I think we're just one step away from the NBA, Montreal. I'd like to welcome to the show. I'm going to call you the champion. Joel Anthony. How you doing, Joel?
I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me on the show.
In my email to your communication people, I made sure I put, I'm a fellow Sun U alum. Like, I'm not just some random guy. Like, I play ball and say, not with you, but a couple years behind. Telling you off here, Joel, I've never heard you say five words back-to-back together. You must be the quietest silent killer ever in history. You're not much of a talker, Joel.
Yeah, no, it's, I've always kind of been like that. Well, actually, my mom said, like, when I was really young, I used to talk a lot to the point that she used to be worried about, you know, about me when I was around people because, you know, she just put me in a room, like, right. with people, and I just, you know, wouldn't stop. But, yeah, I grew up, you know, kind of the strong, silent type.
this guy's like the Black Clint Eastwood. He was okay, Joel, let's pay the bills first. You know, right. I want to talk some NBA. Let's pay the bills first.
Right.
Life after basketball, did you always view yourself becoming a GM or doing something in the front office? Was this always an ambition of yours? Or were you just going to retire on an island? I seen you in the island.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. When I used to, you know, first talk about, you know, post-career, you know, what it was I wanted to do. And, you know, what with some of the people in the NBA that used to help us out, you know, he said, like, well, what do you want to do? I said, look, I just want to kind of ride off into the sunset. You know, I'll just, you know, be able to, you know, stay someplace warm and just relax. And, you know, as I got older and, you know, obviously, you know, there's more that I wanted. And as I started to get closer to retirement, like, I thought, look, I would take a year off. You know, I wanted to take a year off and not really do much. And then, you know, from there, see what it was, you know, that might be available. And so once I was done, you know, I was pretty sure I was, you know, I wasn't going to play again. And, you know, yeah. I just ended up, you know, staying around ball a little bit, you know. So I was helping out with the, you know, the Raptors 905. And, you know, I saw myself, you know, wanting to do some stuff on the player development side. And I liked, you know, working with the young guys. And so I got involved in the coaching program, which, you know,
yeah, I seen that.
Started to get me, you know, get me really, really involved. Yeah, you know, you definitely have to talk with all of that. And so it's definitely it was a really good experience for me, and I think it helped, you know, kind of open my eyes to, you know, wanting to, you know, for focusing on trying to do more after. You know, after basketball, in terms of, you know, the other side of the game,
and exactly.
The front office was always a big interest to me, but I was never it was never something that was, you know, I was, you know, for yeah, sure, you know,
pursuing like that.
But I definitely had, you know, definitely more interest in that, that side of things. It's just at the time I just wasn't able to really focus in on it. So, you know, things just kind of happened organically in terms of, you know, where I am right now.
So no coaching, because you know, I had seen you with the 905. So, okay, Joel's still in the mix because you 10-year NBA vet. So you live and breathe basketball, especially to have lasted that long at the apex of basketball. You had to stay fit mentally and physically. So you eat and breathe basketball. So I was thinking to myself, okay, Joel might pop up as a coach, but GM is a very important role. So walk me through general manager. And there's a lot of first general manager, Canadian Elite Basketball, Montreal. We have a lot of good talent. I wish they had this about 15 years ago. Because all the Bucks, the Nathans. I wish they had this about 15 years ago. I know all the older heads, guys that are coaching the younger guys, I'd be like, yo, if we had this, we'd have ate this up.
Yeah.
Walk me through the role of a general manager. Is it more picking the guys? Is it more dealing with the hierarchy of staff, or are you intertwining all levels of the organization?
Honestly, what I think more than anything, it's it really depends on, you know, where you are as an organization.
Right.
You know, so I talked with it's funny. I talked with, you know, the two guys that, you know, are friends of mine that are both GMs in our league, and Jermaine Anderson over in Hamilton, and you know, Javon Shepherd in Ottawa. You know, we played together on national team. You know, that's like family to me. And so,
right.
You know, both of them were like, "Look, like you have to take this job. Like, it makes, you know, the most sense." And you know, I definitely, as soon as I, you know, found out that there was going to be a team, I, you know, talked with the commissioner Mike Morales about it, and you know, I wanted to, you know, be involved, but I wasn't sure on the GM role because I knew there was, you know, that's a lot of work.
There's
a lot of responsibility. And, you know, I wanted to make sure, like, I was going to be ready for it. And
right.
It wasn't so much that I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to be as prepared as I could be, you know, going into this role, because, you know, it was a world I hadn't been in. So, you know, both of them were, you know, tell me, yeah, you know, you have to do it. And, you know, I laughed about it now with them because I was like, look, you know, you guys kind of set me up because you know, everyone, you know, realize, you know, wants me to do it. But, you know, I don't have the same, you know, my responsibility is different from theirs because,
exactly,
you know, that they at least had their base and their foundation set up, you know, in terms of knowing, you know, they knew like what they're doing ticketing wise. You know, they had at least an idea on the coach and staff. What and you know, there's so many different things in terms
of the arena.
And so, it's not all me, but these are all things that have to be done and have to be, you know, taken into consideration. Yeah. So, you know, for me now, it's really so much of, you know, really everything. I'm trying to obviously focus on the most important thing, which is the basketball side of
things. Yeah, the team.
So, you know, right now it's really in terms of, you know, hiring a coach, finding, you know, identifying talent and, you know, start going through the recruiting process in terms of finding free agents and then identifying some of the other players, the university players that would be able to play as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of, you know, like the biggest things, but, you know, I still have to, you know, like help go through like all the scouting with the coaching side after, you know, be able to pick the assistants and going through the interview process. But there's, you know, and if you're just focusing on that, you know, still, you know, that's a lot, but it's still fine. But there's still so much more in terms of, you know, trying to help with sponsorship, trying to figure out, you know, what we're doing, you know, on the medical side. You know, I have to, find an athletic therapist and strength coach and, you know, all the interviews that go into it. So it's there's a lot. And, you know, I could just go down the list. So, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, depends on the situation you're going into.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, where we're really starting at the bottom as an expansion team. But, you know, this is actually what, you know, really makes it enjoyable for me because I'm really helping to build this from the ground up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really helping to build this from the ground up. And so this is going to be, you know, a situation where, you know, like where we could really leave, you know, a really good imprint as long as it's done right.
Listen. How important was it, you know, this next question is kind of twofold. How important was it for you to come back home and give back in whichever way you wanted to the community in Montreal?
Extremely important. Extremely important. The fact that I'd be able to have a role like this that was going to have, you know, a huge impact on the community, on, you know, like our community here in Montreal, the basketball community. It's, you know, obviously, you know, throughout my years growing up, being, you know, really involved in the Black community in Montreal as well. It's just, you know, the opportunity to be able to touch, you know, so many different, you know, areas of the city and to really get, you know, a bunch of people involved in so many different ways and having, you know, well, you know, I definitely have some experience on the basketball side, but, you know, the ability to actually, you know, be able to reach out and have an effect on these, it's, you know, that type of responsibility. You know, I just love the fact that I'm in this position to be able to do that, where I could really help, you know, some people in terms of helping them gain, you know, this league is really about, you know, opportunity and experience. Yeah. And it's, you know, the ability to be able to give that to people is, you know, one of the main things of what it's about. You know, like, I want to be able to help people. I want, you know, I want to see guys. I want to be able to see, you know, players be able to be successful and, you know, start to launch their careers. But, you know, I want everyone, you know, I want our coaches to be able to get better and get more opportunities, you know, on the professional level. I want, you know, like our staff, you know, people that are working in video and people doing the communications, this is all about, you know, growing and getting better and, you know, people furthering their career. So it's a big responsibility.
It's the growth of Quebec basketball. And I think you're going to have, you're in a position now to have a lasting effect on it. You're going to impact it on so many levels. Cause like you said, you're going to create opportunities for people in all different interests that have to do with basketball and the organization. Now, Montreal, my city, if you're now joining me, I'm sitting down with champion Joel Anthony, 10-year NBA vet. You are you got two rings. And I say you got one. You got two rings. He's the first general manager for the Montreal Alliance Canadian Elite Basketball League. They're going to begin playing Verdun Auditorium next May. So it's going down. Joel, I couldn't let you leave. We have to walk through a couple of things. People are going to kill me if I don't ask you. Just walk me through the emotions. I remember watching you on TV and being so proud. Now, one, knowing a little bit about your character, you're very humble. You don't talk that much, so you're not a boasty kind of guy. So I felt it was always a good look for our city having you at the forefront in the NBA and the likes. But walk me through the emotions, 2012, that NBA championship, moments before you know you guys are about to win it. What are some of the feelings you're feeling that? Because that's a moment only few in life ever will ever experience.
Right. It really starts once you know the game is in hand, like that's when it really starts, where you're like, you know, you might say something, you might not, and you're like this is really gonna happen. Like we're really, like we're about to do it, and it's just it starts to build up. You know, it's this rush. You start thinking about, you know, everything, like all the, you know, all the sacrifices you had to go through, all the work you had to put in. You know, like, you know, all the, you know, issues you had, you know, dealing with, you know, whatever it was, you know, on the court, off the court, like everything, you know, just starts to build up. Like, wait, we're actually going to do this. Like this goal that we had set is, you know, about to be achieved. And so, you know, as that clock starts to wind down, it's just, you know, starts building up. And then it's this huge rush of emotion once, you know, the confetti starts falling and that final horn goes and, you know, people start, you know, crowding the court. It's so, there's this amazing, crazy rush of emotion that, you know, goes on. It might last for, you know, at its height, like probably, you know, goes up for probably an hour, like as we are going through everything, then it turns down a bit. And then once everyone's in the locker room, it, you know, goes back up again, you know, the champagne's going and now we're, you know, like really, cause like then it's just us, you know, like it's kind of everyone, you know, when you first win, like everyone's around, you know, your family's able to come down and, you know, you have to deal with the media and then do all that stuff. And so it's, you know, you're dealing with all that, but then when you're in the locker room, that's when it's, you know, you're around like just everyone that was in, you know, in those battles with you, you know, your brothers, and it's really, you know, like another set, you know, of emotion right there, and it's just, you know, over the top, you know, it's so like that's why, you know, you see guys, you know, like crying and breaking down, you know, on the ground, can't believe it. It's you know, there's a shock almost to your system because, you know, you've finally done something, you know, to imagine like giving up so much and working so hard to have like one ultimate goal and to finally, and when that finally comes, you know, especially the first one, you know, like the first one, you don't know what to even expect, you know, you don't know how you're going to be. Yeah. You know? And so like once it reaches, it's it really is an amazing feeling. And then, you know, like that's why, you know, you fight so hard to be able to get that again, because you're I want that again. I need that again. And, you know, that's, you know, that becomes a goal.
Being a Canadian player and seeing the influx of so many dope Canadian players emerging to the NBA now, what kind of advice would you have for them? Because you've lasted 10 years in the NBA. There's a plethora of things that you have to deal with. So what was your secret in surviving in the NBA that long?
You know, like one, more than anything, you have to, you know, you have to know who you are, you know, in the league, you know. Yeah. And so it's a process of trying to, you know, trying to find yourself. You know, sometimes you have to end up, you know, reinventing yourself, you know, as things, you know, start to change, the league starts to change, you have to be able to adapt with it. And so, but, you know, more than anything is just, you know, staying focused on what you, on your actual goal, and, you know, understanding that you have to be willing to sacrifice, you know, whatever it is, you know, to be able to accomplish that. Like you have to really put everything into it, you know, 2 feet in, and you just go, like no detours, no, you know, looking at the side and, you know, worried about anything extra. Like if you have a straight, you know, plan, and if it's authentic enough in terms of, you know, but wanting to get better, wanting to win, is, you know, the built of the right things, you'll be able to be in a position to, you know, to be successful. And
I've always wanted to ask you this, and I knew the moment was going to come. So like, for me, this is like a really big deal to get this interview with you, even though we have mutual friends, because I know, like, I had to ask Joe this. Joel, you've always been the type of basketball player. You've worked hard. You hustled. Nobody could ever say that, you know, you're on the court. You're on the court just showboating. So I know those kind of attributes, people like LeBron, Wade, they would love. Just real quick, speak to me about your experience playing with someone like Dwayne Wade. And Dwayne Wade, I love him second to Kobe, me personally. But speak to me a little bit, your emotions about that. What was it like playing with LeBron and Dwayne Wade and doing the championship run?
Honestly, it was amazing, you know, like to be able to, so like D Wade, you know, playing with him, you know, he, well, obviously, like since my rookie year, you know, I was over there. So we ended up playing together for, you know, like just about 7 years. And to see, you know, someone like that was, you know, clearly a superstar,
yeah,
you know, future Hall of Famer in the league, and seeing him play, you know, like in his prime at, you know, such a high level. But also, you know, seeing how humble he was and mm-hmm. how, you know, how much of a, you know, like down to earth, you yeah. know, person he, you know, he really was as an individual, you know, was, you know, like definitely great to see, because like he made, you know, like everyone, you know, feel welcome, feel right. feel comfortable. And so, you know, to be able to see, you know, to be able to see that and to be able to play with someone like that, you know, was, you know, it was an amazing experience. And, you know, obviously, you know, everyone sees everything on the court, and, you know, us, you know, us too, like to be able to see him, you know, especially his, you know, that 08-09 season, I think it was, when he was, you know, you missed out on the MVP. Like, I've never seen, you know, I've never played with anyone, you know, any type of scorer, you know, like that, you know, at least playing on at that type of level.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen anyone, you know, quite like that, you know, before. And then, you know, like Bron was just, you know, like there was so much asked and, you know, so much is talked about, you know, about him. And, you know, even before he came to the team, like we all, you know, like we'd watch games and we're like, man, like this, you know, ridiculous athlete.
Yeah, he's larger than life, right?
Yeah, like there's so much stuff that, you know, even though you're playing against him, you're like, damn, like I can't believe he, you know, was able to do that. But being around him and then, you know, realizing, you know, like really, you know, you hear about, you know, he obviously has a great understanding of the game, but realizing, you know, how high his IQ, you know, like really is, like he really is like, you know, kind of like a genius level, you know, like IQ in terms of, you know, understanding like what, you know, what everyone is supposed to do. And it's not just, you know, like basketball IQ, like he's, you know, just simple stuff. Like he could, you know, he remembers, you know, he could remember anything, you know, counting his like just, you know, running numbers and stuff like that. Is it like it's just one of those things that comes easy to him, you know? He's just like
he's gifted.
Just really gifted. And but to be able to, you know, see that live, you know, every single day, and then seeing the work that he put in, you know, like that's what was really impressive too. That just because, you know, like I was known for, you know, to being like a hard worker and like that. That's, you know, that's what I did. And, you know, to be able to see someone, you know, to see someone really maximize on all of their talent. Like he's someone that literally puts in every bit of work that you would expect from someone that's extremely talented. There's no shortcuts. It's not like just because, you know, like he's naturally like good.
Yeah.
Like he put in all the work, you know, studied, put in all the work on his body, on his game, like to really, you know, be able to be as successful as he is. It's not, you know, a fluke. So to be able to see that from, you know, from him was, you know, like really impressive. And also, you know, how he was with people, because people always want to know, like, how, you know, like, how was he like playing with Bron? And, you know, he's like, you know, just like if you had, you know, a fun, you know, talkative, joking all the time, you know, type of teammate, like, that's him. There's just all that other stuff, you know, as well on top of it.
A special individual. This is also our Kobe tribute episode as well. You obviously got a chance to play against Kobe. Just speak to me about that a little bit. Kobe was serious, wasn't he? Like, me, I'm the biggest Kobe fan. So, like, there's two things I got to ask Joel. I got to ask Joel about Wade. I got to ask Joel about Kobe.
Right.
So, do you have a favorite Kobe memory or a game or experience that you're like, yeah, Kobe's
bad. Actually, it's funny because like you said Wade, so I'm remembering the one that stands out the most is definitely I can't remember the year, probably like it was probably like it was around 08 or 09, and so D-Wade's playing in the All-Star game with Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, takes a little bit of a, you know, aggressive swing or whatever. You know, it's not intentional or anything. It's the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Breaks Kobe's nose.
Yeah.
So we, so after the break, we were wearing LA, and I think it's, I don't know if it was like the first game after the break. Like, it was pretty recently, like after the All-Star break. We go over there, and this is, you know, this is D-Wade. Like, you know, there's nothing like holding him back. No injuries. Like, he's healthy. He's, you know, averaging like just about 30, defending everyone. You know, at a high level, playing both sides. Like, clearly, like MVP. Like, kind of like, you know, it was crazy. He wasn't able to get it, but goes against Kobe, and the focus that man had, where you knew it was like the personally, like in general, like their relationship, you know, great.
Yeah.
But it was personal, like right there on the court. And he went, you know, he was going at him from jump, and there was nothing, you know, that really could be done. Like, come down, back in, turn, shot face, turn, come down, sidestep, bucket. And it was just like nonstop. And, you know, I'm trying to run in, you know, trying to help defense. I'm thinking, okay, like I might be able to, you know, get a block. He's changing his, you know, changing his shot.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, just as like offensive onslaught. And he was just going at him. I've never seen anyone, you know, be able to, you know, like do that, you know, really, you know, to
really
like, obviously, you know, like people are able to score, and, you know, it's either, you know, he'll either, you know, like definitely be able to lock someone down, or like even if, you know, someone's able to get by, I'm always going there, you know, like to help. And, you know, to see someone like just like run off like all of those like buckets right away, like, you know, like you could tell he like took it personally. And that's, you know, like who he was, like when he's like when he got, you know, that motivation to like really be focused, and like he, you know, like he was just unstoppable, like offensively. And, you know, this is against, like, you have, like, we're a good defensive team. Yeah. We're very good defensive players. Like, we're both, like, as a team, very good. You know, we're top five in the league, I think, at that point, and defensively. And, or, like, at least top 10. And then, you know, individually, you know, we have, like, the athletes that were, you know, really good defensively. And,
stoppers, yeah.
You know, and it just goes to show, like, you know, you really just, you know, you're just trying to contain, you know, someone like that. You know, someone that is, you know, as talented as that offensively, you know, there isn't anything you do. You just have to live with, you know, like making them take tough shots.
You got to live with the onslaught.
Yeah.
A little bit. Man, listen, Joel, you've lived a beautiful life. You have much more to come, but thus far it's been great. What advice, you know, if you give